Well, good morning, everyone. Morning. It's good to be in worship. Thank you to all the dads and all the uncles and all the church uncles and men of our church and ladies, but men particularly, who invest in the next generation, who invest in the next generation of young people who are searching for what it means to serve God in this way. Well, this morning the scripture reading is taken from Joshua chapter 24. And this is the story, or this passage that we're reading this morning is verses 14 and 15. Now, to put this into context, we're looking at a passage that Joshua is speaking with the people of Israel after they are returning to God and choosing who they will serve. And these are the words that we find there. Now, therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served before, beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served in the regions beyond the rivers or the gods of the Amorites whose lands you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's an element in that passage where we can intersperse the words of the Amorites and all those other and the other references there to the gods beyond the rivers, and we could say a whole bunch of gods in which are around us in the world today. The things that we worship around in our world today, we need to choose who we will serve. In preparing for this morning, Chris Tomlin a number of years ago wrote a song that says, you're a good, good father. That's who you are. And I thought, what is a good, good father? What does a good, good father look like? The concept of father and child is mentioned many, many times within Scripture. And it's a relationship between who God is and who we are as his children. He is our father. We are his children. In fact, in the scriptures, there are 265 different references to God and child in scripture. It's not just something that's mentioned once, and if you've read everything in scripture, then you'll know it. It's mentioned many, many, many times. Most of those are found in the New Testament. That's not a surprise, because through Christ, we have a new identity as an adopted child of God. The word father conjures up for us many images for many different people. Some of them are ridiculously amazing, and some of them not so much. Some people have awesome relationships with their dads, and others don't. Some people, including me, have never met their biological dad. But I am more than grateful for a dad. I may not have met my biological father, but I know who my dad is. And he's a guy who is faithful, prays for us every day. And if I could be 1% of the dad that he was for me, for my kids, they'd turn out okay. So for us all, we have different experiences of what being a dad is. So for some of us, it's completely negative. For some of us, he was just absent. Or maybe we've been rejected by our father. So how can we say God is a good, good father? In Scripture, we see that the father is the one who embraces the prodigal son, the one who loves him when he doesn't deserve to be loved. That's a good, good father. In Luke chapter 15, we see this story where the father is told that, I want my inheritance, and he runs, he squanders his inheritance. And in the midst of that, we see this verse coming up on the screen now. He got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. What does it mean to have a good father? It's a father who pursues us, who wants to be in relationship with us, who doesn't leave us off on in a far land and not want to be in relationship with us. God is our good father. We see a father who provides for us and cares for our needs. Matthew chapter 10 gives us these words, "And not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your father's care. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." The two truths that have been most transformative in my life are that I am God's child and that God is a good father. You see, I could have gone through my entire existence looking at the picture of a dad that I didn't know, an absent dad entirely. I didn't know that father figure, so how could I connect with God as being a good father when my father didn't stick around? God is a good father because he knows the hairs that are on top of my head, even though the number is dropping dramatically by the day. Another line in the song that Chris Tomlin wrote is these words, "The tender whisper of love in the dead of night." Have you ever had a time in your life where you've felt so dark that it has felt like there is no possible hope on the horizon? Have you ever been there? And it's in the tender whisper. It's not usually in the neon sign above, you know, the buildings in the cities. It's in the whisper in the dead of night where there is absolutely not much left in the hope category. And God speaks hope and love into our lives. I'll be honest, if we were to look at the picture of my life as being a dad, and you were to say that you hear your children calling, you wouldn't follow my lead if you were using the picture of me and, you know, the link between me and God. God hears you in the night when you call out. I haven't heard my kids much in the dead of night. In fact, once. And that was when Logan had... It felt like the dead of night. It was about 6:30 in the morning. He had my bugle and he played it as loud and proud as you could ever hear at a point blank range. It was loud, right? I heard him that day. But the dad, I didn't hear that. But God hears us. And I'm sure there's plenty of mums in the room that could stand up and give hour-long testimonies to the fact that dads sometimes don't hear the children as much as they'd like them to in the middle of the night. Is that true? Or is it just Debbie? Because this could be a week-long vigil, I'm telling you. Right? From just on Debbie's account of what's doing for me. It's not one of my strengths. The scripture says that God is near to the brokenhearted. In the midst of our brokenness, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Tells me that God is close to me because I've been crushed in my life. It tells me that God is close because I've been brokenhearted. Have you been crushed? Have you been brokenhearted in your life? Psalmist tells us that the Lord is close. God doesn't wait to show up once the struggle is over. He is not the guy that you would call blisters, you know, who turns up when all the hard work's over. He's not that guy. He's in the trenches with us the entire time. He is there for us as the psalmist tells us to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. When we're in the midst of our darkest times, he is walking each step of the road with us. And during the night, in the middle of the pain and in the middle of the wrestling, he is with us, wrestling that with us and allowing the wrestle to allow us to experience a new revelation of who he is. A depth and a breadth of the love that God has for us. I wonder for you and for me whether we are in the dead of night right now. When we're just hungering for the tender whispers of God's love to be spoken into our lives. My prayer is that today, through this Father's Day, that when you call out, the Father does listen and you will know that. And you will hear the whisper of love. The next line that I drew out of this, of the song that I wanted to look at this morning, is this word that says, to be a good, good father, you are giving answers that only you can provide. The reality is, these are questions that we want answered. Am I loved? Am I accepted? Am I safe? When we hear words that, like, why is the sky blue, Dad? How come this happens? How come? And they're always asking questions. Sometimes one question and the next question, you think to yourself, how did you get there? But they were wanting to glean from us the wisdom that we might have, as little as it might feel at times. But the reality is, what they want to know is, are they accepted? Are they loved? Am I safe? World who do not feel safe, who do not feel accepted, and certainly don't feel loved. But from a good, good father, that is exactly who they can find those things, and it can be yes every time. Are you loved? Yes. Let me show you how much you're loved, because of I will send my son to die on the cross so that you can be in relationship with me. Are you accepted? But what about the list of things that probably qualifies me? Look at Luke chapter 15, 11 to 32, and you see in there a story of a young guy who had a really long list of reasons he's disqualified from being in relationship with his dad. And the long list didn't matter. The dad didn't ask him, what did you actually get up to while you were away? He never asked him, what did you get up to? He loved and accepted him because he was his son. When we come to God and ask for him to speak to us in the tender whisper of night and to ask him for the answers that he can provide, are we accepted? He doesn't say, well, you would have been, but. Never said that. It's yes every time. And what a freedom that gives to us when it's a yes every time. No buts, no maybes, yes. If we want to look at another reason, another scenario where you could say, well, you probably don't qualify for God's love. You could look in John chapter 4 and the story of the Samaritan woman. She's talking to a rabbi. She's a Samaritan. Not so great if you're wanting to talk to the rabbi. She's a woman within a patriarchal society. You're not going to be talking to the rabbi. She's unclean. You're not going to be talking to the rabbi. She's been married 5 times and she's with somebody else now. She ticks every box with regards to being unclean, and God says, I want to give you living water. I want to give you a water a drink from a well, that means that you'll never thirst again. You'll never hunger to get these questions answered anywhere else ever again. She may have asked those questions on that day. Am I loved? Am I accepted? She was looking for acceptance in all the wrong places. The reality is, as dads on earth, we can't answer every question our children have. No matter how hard they try. But these questions, God answers by sending His Son. Am I loved? Am I accepted? Am I safe? The answer to all of those is yes. The next line that I want to, or the challenge I want to look at this morning is peace so unexplainable. I was chatting to someone in the last couple of weeks and who's been through a medical journey in recent days, and they said, I've just got a peace about it. I can't explain it, but I know that God's in it. A good father doesn't let his child do whatever he wants. He sets up boundaries and rules for their safety and for their good. Our Heavenly Father does the same thing. We often hear people say that when you're in, when you go to church or you're involved in the expression of faith according to Jesus' teachings, that it's a whole list of do's and don'ts. Well, John 10:10 tells me that the enemy comes to steal, kill and destroy, but he's come to give us life and life in abundance. He hasn't come to tell us we can't. He's come to say, embrace my teachings and you will live a life of freedom and a life of release. The reality is, right from the very beginning of time and the records of the creation narrative, we see in there that we want to do it always our way. I want to do it all by myself. I know that there's rules out there, but I want to just do it my way. I know that there's guidance from God in how to handle things, but I want to just do it all by myself. Didn't that happen at the beginning of time when it's recorded in Genesis, those seeds of doubt? Did God really say? So when God says that He will give us love and acceptance, did He really mean loved? Did He really mean that you'd be accepted? But He's obviously not looking at your list of the things that disqualify you, because if He did, would He really say you're accepted? There's those seeds of doubt that get planted, and when we tend to those seeds, they grow. There are many times in my life where I let seeds of doubt not just grow, but I water them and I irrigate them and I think about them and give them too much airtime. Instead of trusting that God is the one that gives me the peace that transcends all understanding. John 4:14, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. The water I give them will become an eternal, for them, a spring of water welling up to eternal life. That person, this is from the Psalms, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. When we pursue God, when we are hungering to be in relationship with Him, we experience a peace that we can't explain. At the very fibre and the very centre of our being, we read those words from the Psalms in Psalm 139 that says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made and knitted together in our mother's womb. It's God that does the knitting. If it was Wes, There'd be drop stitches all over the place, right? That's not an ideal situation, I found out at home ec at school. When we look after our own lives and we're the ones that do the knitting, you probably, like me, unless you're a fantastic knitter, you're probably dropping stitches in your life all the time. Leave the knitting to the person who knitted us together. We need to be coming to Him to allow Him to craft us and shape us into who He wants us to be. God consistently moves towards us. He runs when no one else is running towards us. He wants so much for our relationship to be restored with Him that He sent His Son to die. So what is a good, good Father? He's someone who draws us deeper still, draws us unto Himself. The amazing thing about the Christian life is there's always more to learn about God. We sang a song when I was at Sunday school that said, deep and wide, deep and wide. I wasn't the only one that sang that at Sunday school. Come on now. Right? You don't realize how deep that love is sometimes. When we think it runs out, it's deeper than that. We will never experience the full depth of who God is because He is infinite. The problem that we have as humans is that we try to make an infinite God finite so we can get our head around it. But the more we learn about God, the more we realize that we will never know all there is to know, and there's more to know about the character and the person of God. We reach a new level of intimacy with Him. And Paul reminds us and the church in Corinth that we are being transformed constantly. We are being transformed constantly. So when we say He's a good Father, what do we mean? We mean that there's peace, unexplainable. There's a call to a deeper relationship, a call to serve Him deeper than we did yesterday, and tomorrow more than today. Are we joining with the church, with the Israelites, where they say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord because He is a good, good Father. We're going to sing that song just now. And it may be that we've been looking for answers in a whole bunch of different places that and not where the answers are found. Maybe we've been disenfranchised by the darkness around us, that we're just hungering for that love to be spoken into our life. As we sing this morning, as we sing this song this morning, may there be chances for us and experiences for us to allow these words to speak deep into our soul, that we would experience in these days that God would speak in the dead of our night, where we can't see the hope, where we can't see His love, where we just are desperately needing that tender whisper.